In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, I want you to start by looking at your hand. Look at the front of your hand. Look at the back of your hand. Look at each finger. Nails. Lines. Whatever. Consider your hand. Ponder these answers or these questions to yourselves. What do you like about your hand? What don't you like about it? Are there any strengths or skills that your hand possesses? What does your hand enable you to do? Are there any particular things that this hand has caused you pain or trouble with over the years? I want you to look at your knee. For many of you, your knee is covered. So you have to think about what your knee looks like and remember what it looks like. Once again, ponder these questions. What do you like about your knee? What don't you like about your knee? Does your knee have a particular strength? What does your knee enable you to do? Are there any particular things that your knee causes you pain and struggle? Now consider both your hand and your knee. How do these joints and this hand benefit you? What would life be like without your hand and without your knee? Both your hands and both your knees. Both your hands and your knees are gifts from God, gifts given to you. Sometimes they may cause you pain. They may cause you suffering and sleepless nights. Sometimes you do not like them at all. And sometimes they don't do what you want them to do. But they are yours, and you are better off with them than without them. They are yours, part of your unified body that you have. A couple weeks ago, we heard Paul talk to his readers about the church in Ephesus, reminding both the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians that they were united together by God's act of love found in His Son, Jesus. In today's reading, the apostle continues on with this topic of unity by talking about the oneness of the body of Christ. Aaron read these words for us this morning from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Hear them again. Paul writes, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner of your calling, to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." With these words of Paul this morning, we are going to answer the following question. Where does true maintaining unity come from, especially among us who are called the church? As we begin, let us bow our head in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, that they may be pleasing in your sight. Amen. We often think that unity, it comes from our doing. If you have been involved in church, maybe only a little bit, or your entire life, you are quickly realized that there is going to be conflict in church, no matter if you like it or not. Unity is difficult. It's difficult among us believers because we are filled as people with all different personalities, interests, attitudes, levels of education, and tendencies. However, many people think that we can overcome all our differences. The approaches that mankind has tried over the years are all sorts of things. One of the popular things is what we heard about a couple of weeks ago, this idea of legalism. They come up with different things saying that people ought to follow a number of rules or guidelines to be united. And in this form and other methods, they create fear inside of people if they don't obey what their church teaches. They breathe down threats down these people's necks, saying, if you break away from this church, then you are not truly a member. You are not part of the church. You are a heretic. And sometimes they even say the extreme, you are going to hell. Sometimes this power goes beyond this threat, and it often turns into violence and bloodshed. I don't know if you've ever studied, but it goes on in Ireland and Northern Ireland, even still to this day, at Belfast Wall, which is up in Northern Ireland. If you're on the wrong side of this wall, and if you're the wrong Christian faith denomination, you can end up being beaten up or even killed. And that's between two Christian groups. Other people try to maintain unity through this idea of openness. These individuals allow people to believe whatever they want to uphold this factor of unity. This idea of practice goes into all areas, whether it's the approving of various marriages, the ordination practices, or ignoring certain things as sin, saying, you know, that might be sin by God, but it's okay, you can do whatever you want. Often these types of people who agree with such practices want to say they're doing it out of love for mankind, love for others. And if you don't agree with this openness, you must be a hater. You must be a bigot or a judge, which is causing this division. However, these are the ones who are compromising the Word of God. So how are these things working for us in Christianity? How is legalism, power, openness, threats, violence helping Christianity out? No matter how hard we try, no matter how much energy we exert, we cannot maintain unity of ourselves. We are completely and utterly incapable of doing this maintaining unity. Why? I don't know about you. If you look at our world today, it's not doing well either. Why can't we maintain unity? Is it because our personalities are different from another? No. Is it because of our different interests and our hobbies? No. Is it our attitudes? No. The level of our conversation, our education? No. Is it our tendencies? No. The reason why we are unable to maintain unity is because of something that we share in common with one another. It's a three-letter word. S-I-N. Sin. Our sinfulness divides us. We are tempted to believe that it's easier to divide when we have a point of contention with another individual instead of working it out together to confront and to reconcile our problems. It happens throughout our lives. For those who are children, or those, all of us who have been children, we know this full well, right? When our family member, a sibling, or our friend wants to do a thing and we don't want to do it. Whether it's play sport, play game, or whatever, what happens when we don't want to do what another wants to do when we were kids? We throw a fit, right? We throw a fit to get our way. I want it my way. And we throw fits and we stomp our feet, we fall to get people to do what we want. Or we throw a guilt trip upon them. Or we do the opposite. We huff and we puff. We don't blow the house down. We go to our own house. Or we go to our own room. We divide. And when we become adults, are we any better? No, we huff and puff and blow down the house down, right? We're no better when our spouse, our friend, our co-worker wants us to do something that we don't want to do. We get in arguments. We divide. We love division. Because we are sinful people who love division and has overflowed into our churches as well. In an article I read this week, in 2023, there's been 45,000 different denominations of Christianity across the world. That is up 12,000 from 2017, folks. That's a lot of division. The devil is having a heyday with us believers in Christ. So is there any hope? Is there any comfort to maintaining unity among us believers regardless of our sinfulness? The simple answer is yes. Yes, there is. The Lord unites us together. The Apostle Paul writes this in today's reading. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And saying, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who has also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Paul tells his readers and is telling us today that the Lord doesn't use things. He doesn't use things like legalism. He doesn't use power, violence, bloodshed, or openness. He doesn't use the things that we humans try to bring unity. Instead, the Lord unites us by his grace when he sent his Son, his only Son, Jesus the Christ, who came to this earth, who took upon our human flesh, lived a perfect life, suffered disunity from his Father there upon that cross, wherein he cried, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he died like a criminal, rose from the grave, proclaimed his victory over Satan and hell, and ascended to the right hand of his Father. By doing all these things, Jesus has earned us unity with God and with one another to be with him, who once were captives of sin, are now set free and brought with him into his eternal kingdom forever. So how does Jesus give you these gifts? You were called. You were called by Jesus through his word. And it's through that combination of God's word and water where you were united. You were united and baptized into him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. By doing so, you were united to Jesus at your baptism. You were united to your Savior and received all the gifts that he has earned upon that cross. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. And not only that, you became a member of his body. You became a member of the body of Christ, along with each one of your people around you. Like Apostle writes today, there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Therefore, this morning, look around the sanctuary. Don't look at the stained glass. Don't look at the pyramids. Don't look at the walls, but look at the people. Look at the people, not at their hands. Don't worry about their hands. Don't look at their fingernails. They might be dirty. Don't look at their knees, but look at them face to face. Look at those people next to you. And as you look around this morning, ask yourself, what particular strengths do you see among the people here at Grace Lutheran Church? This is what you looked about a couple months ago from behind. This is what you looked at. This is what people see online. They see you as well. So what do you like about them? Consider those people around you. They, like your hands and your knees, are part of you. You are part of them. We all are parts of the body of Christ, Jesus, who is our head. Just as your hands and your knees are gifts from God, so are these people around you as well. They are gifts from God. They may at times be very pleasant and joyful gifts from God. But at other times, they may cause you pain and suffering as well. They may hurt you. They may cause you difficulty and pain. But you know what? They're still part of you. They're still part of you. Some might be that your little toe under your shoe. Some of them may be your pinky. Some may be an ear. Some may seem useless, but they are still part of the body of Christ. They're still part of you. They're still part of the Christ. God has sent his son, Jesus, to die for them as well. He has died for each one of you. And for those who are part of you as well. Jesus has died for all humanity. You are much better off with these brothers and sisters in Christ than without them. The Spirit of God enables them to accomplish things that you would never be able to accomplish by yourself. They are yours. You are theirs, parts united and growing as that one body, the body of Christ. The apostle reminds us of these beautiful words talking about this unity, of how God uses people of all different stripes to be part of his family. He says, and Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working together, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. So where does true maintaining unity come from? It doesn't come from the things of humanity. It does not come from the things of this creation. It comes by the Lord alone, who reigns and maintains that unity through His precious word and His precious sacraments. And He is the one that has called you and keeps you in this unity, and now brings you out into this world to bring others into this body of Christ as well. Because they are important as well. Because God desires all people to be part of His body, both now and forevermore. Amen. I invite you to please rise.